And welcome back to another edition of Sideline Sessions with Wesley Sykes. I am, of course, Wesley Sykes, the managing editor of Coach and Athletic Director, Training and Conditioning, and Winning Hoops Brands for Great American Media Services. And you can listen to all of our previous episodes anywhere you can access podcasts, as well as any of our websites. Jeez. CoachAD.com, training-conditioning.com, and winninghoops.com. And be sure to follow our brands on Twitter at coach_AD, at train condition, at winning hoops, and myself, if you like, at Wesley Sykes _. But now that we have all that out of the way, today we welcome to the program Brendan Hall, wow, marketing representative from Huddle, to discuss how Huddle helps coaches in a variety of sports, not just football, what's on tap for them in the future, and his career to this point. So, Brendan, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Reunited, and it feels so good, Wes.
It does. It does. I feel bad that I stumbled over the name here. I'm usually A1 with this intro here, but not today.
It's all good. My college friends call me Red, so if you ever forget my name.
Red, that's right. Here. We won't forget it right there. Now, of course, that's not a great joke for podcasting, but yeah. If you were watching on the live stream here, we have a little bit of a fiery beer presence from Brendan today.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit, of course, what you do with Huddle, and then maybe a little bit about your previous experiences. What brought you to Huddle?
Yeah. So I work in marketing. I'm a content producer in the marketing department. I work primarily on our football market, where we have a 99% market share in American high school football, which, as you've pointed out before, we talked about, is a pretty wide swath.
I'd say so, right? What are the numbers here? You have like 6 million users, 180,000 teams, something like that.
Yeah. 16,000, I think, high school football teams, at least in America. So, I mean, that's, mm-hmm. That's a pretty huge amount. So I've been here a little over 2 years. Prior to that, we can go way back to when we worked together. I was the editor of ESPN Boston for 6 years. It was a partnership with the Kraft Sports Group, aka the New England Patriots. So mm-hmm. I had the best of both worlds with an office in Gillette Stadium and a byline on ESPN.com. Wes, you wrote, you covered a ton of high school games and wrote a ton of features for me.
Yeah, thank you.
yeah, you were brilliant. I bounced around a little bit from there. NBC Sports Boston, USA Today. I actually also did some personalization work as ESPN.com was transitioning to more of a personalized experience on .com. But kind of along the way, I think from coming from, I guess you can call that whole ESPN Boston thing we did, mm-hmm. Almost a startup kind of venture.
A very ambitious one at that. I mean, just for those who may not be familiar, ESPN, when they branched off and did all of their localized websites, right? Your New York's, your Chicago's, LA's.
LA and Dallas, yeah.
Not all of them had high schools. In fact, I don't think most of them did. I think Massachusetts or Boston was one of the only ones.
They did. I just think, we were by the end of it, we were the lone survivors. I think every other branch had kind of done away with it. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't, for whatever reason, wasn't doing much traffic or whatnot. But yeah, I mean, we really rocked and rolled on it in the Boston site, which proved to be kind of an aberration in that whole kind of ecosystem. But mm-hmm. In a lot of ways, it was kind of a start venture. I was hired be a writer/editor. And after about a week, it felt like I was writer, editor, photographer, videographer, marketer, salesman, partnership manager, like all sorts of stuff. We had a
mm-hmm. as it tends to be for high school journalists, these days, right? Yeah. You're kind of a one-man band in many ways.
So a big part of it was also working with potential sponsors on content campaigns and activations that would make sense for them, that would give them the greatest reach and influence future spend, working with them on what their activations at our game of the week would look mm-hmm. like, kind of helping out with that sponsorship side. So along the way, I kind of had an itch. Like I wanted to kind of try the marketing side. I think I'd be good at it. I think I'm a great storyteller, but I think I can actually bring great ideas to life, which isn't always mutually exclusive, mm-hmm. right? In the process. So I was prepared to make a move in marketing, like a transition to marketing, whether it was with Huddle or somewhere else. But, a few great friends that I made down in Foxborough landed here at Huddle. And so there was some familiarity. And, you know, Huddle was a big part of my career ascent as a high schooler at ESPN in Boston, because, you know, when we started, that was really kind of parallel to when Huddle was starting to get its footing in the market, mm-hmm. And how many athletes were sharing their content on Huddle, sharing their Huddle highlights, how many college coaches were signing up for those recruiter accounts to watch that film. And so being able to have high school coaches, you know, send me highlight film for kids that I can then distribute to our Recruiting Nation evaluators, but also for myself for evaluating talent as I write stories. That was incredibly helpful. You know, like, you always got to trust your eyes, but having some actual video and data behind it just makes it even better.
And I would say, even just from a reporter standpoint, you know, we mentioned the one man band aspect of high school journalism. You know, this is something I picked up from our mutual friend, Rich McClone, is that, you know, when you would work with some of these community high schools on a regular basis, these community papers, you know, you undoubtedly develop these relationships with the coaches enough to the point where they may even trust you with the Huddle account password that if you can't go to an away game, you can break down the film and for a weekly newspaper. You know, that's huge. That's great, right? Because you're spread across 14 sports in some seasons, and you're just one person, you know, and there's no way that you can get to see everything and write about it accurately. So I think that is also, you know, just for my I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say that on the air, that I was had access to, but I found it very helpful.
From that aspect. Well, I mean, that's an exceptional case, because Rich is an institution.
Right. He is. Yeah.
You're not just. You know, I don't think as a coach you're just going to hand out to whatever, you know, Johnny Hamstrung. But like, Rich is a very trusted, valuable source. Like, I don't know, like, who'd be keeping track of Cape Cod history without him?
Right.
Of course, you know, give Rich whatever he wants. You know, and it requires an exceptional amount of trust there. That I guess is my point. It's like, he's. He is a one of a kind, one of a million guy. So, but yeah, I mean, that's certainly a good part of it too. So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, so when you talk about your role there, and I think that transition from the high school, you know, covering high school sports, which I think any coach or athletic director will know, you're there just as much time as they're there. Right. So that burnout factor can be very high. And I think part of that appeal, if you talk about journalists or anything like that, would be that 9-to-5 aspect, or maybe having a weekend off or something like that. But, you know, still being able to, again, tell those stories and bring those stories to life, like you mentioned, and still, you know, in that sports realm.
Yeah, like, that's the thing about, like, taking on something as ambitious as we did, because our ultimate goal with ESPN Boston was to attack the entire New England region with essentially two full-timers.
Just to interject, I don't think the Boston Globe or the Herald really covers state to, you know, end to end like that.
Their Mendoza line is really that I-495 corridor. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think that was kind of where our decision was, like, you know, nobody ever tried to rank the Western Mass, Central Mass schools against Eastern Mass in a true statewide poll, at least not to our magnitude. And so we're like, all right, yeah, let's do it. You know, so we ranked those Springfield teams. Of course, now Springfield Central is just unbelievable at football, if you mm-hmm. follow that. But like, the time, that was kind of a big deal. Like, what do you mean he's ranking this team from Worcester ahead of Brockton? Doesn't he know about the history of Brockton? And, you know, people got really into it. And it was a lot of fun. You are right about the burnout factor. I mean, it's a job that doesn't really shut off. I always remember the time, you know, I went to the gym. I put my phone down for 20 minutes, and in 20 minutes, two of the biggest stories of the fall broke. And I got a voicemail from St. John's Prep that Johnny Thomas, the running back, the very talented running back who went on to Penn State, was out for the year with a knee injury. Mm-hmm. And 20 minutes later, I got a call from the principal of Springfield Central High School. Hey, we just hired Jack O'Brien, the old Charlestown coach who was mm-hmm. in the shadows for a little bit. And I was like, crap, what do I do? you know, and I, you know, there were some lessons learned along the way about delegation, but it's like, yeah, it doesn't shut off.
No. And that was maybe even in the early stages of social media and that 24-hour news cycle, yeah, and everything. So now I think as time progresses, that clock speeds up, you know, even faster, and that need to kind of satiate all that information out there grows more and more.
Yeah. 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 So I still do some writing on the side a little bit, mm-hmm, here. I do still cover some high schools for the Globe, and I enjoy it. The coaches still know who I am. They always enjoy seeing me. It's not that there's any less pressure. You're always going to be under pressure when you have a tight deadline, but like, it just seems more fun, mm-hmm, or just as fun, I guess I'd say.
Well, I have to imagine now if you're covering these high school football games, yeah, you know, when you're up in the press box, these coaches know who you are. Are they picking your brain on the huddle software and the tech and everything, or if something, sometimes, a problem goes wrong, you know, are you the on-site technician?
No, well, I try not to be one, because I don't really get technical in the product stuff. I probably couldn't give them a good answer other than call support.
Sure.
But no, listen, coaches ask me all the time, like, hey, I'm trying to get my team to do more, like get more like into the analytically driven mindset. You have any ideas? And I can, you know, I can show them some templates. You know, on the soccer side, we have some sales, mm-hmm, people who will give clubs huddle homework at the end of the kids. And that seems to get them into the mindset. But I'm always happy to connect guys. If I don't have an answer, I can connect somebody with a coaching influencer I talk to who will have some answers for them. Mm-hmm. The coaching community, you know, you can say what you want about Twitter, but Coach Twitter is unbelievable. You have so much great exchange of information going on. It really is cool to see. So
yeah, and I love it. So before we dive into that community, yeah, aspect of Huddle and everything, you know, let's talk a little bit of tech. And I really appreciate that layup there for that segue, because it's that rolled perfectly into my question.
Yeah.
But you know, what do you guys offer to some high school, college coaches, you know, that maybe and do those needs increase during the last year with COVID? Obviously, I can imagine just the inability to maybe watch people and recruit in person, you know, what could have been a huge factor if your season was going on.
Yeah, I mean, that you hit it nail on the head. Like, as a recruiter, I would imagine you're, you know, your access to somebody's film is at a premium. I think the one thing that has become a like bar none, like primo numero uno demand is ability to live stream, because, mm-hmm, of spectator, right, limit. And so, you know, we had the outdoor, we released the Huddle Focus indoor version, a couple years ago, and, mm-hmm, schools, that is adaptable to a lot of different broadcast software, pretty much any, kind of puts it in their hands to, if they want to monetize it, they can, but also, mm-hmm, just seeing, I forget which coach I was talking to recently about this, but he mentioned about, a parent who was never able to watch their kid live, because, yeah, of work. Now they're able to watch their kid on a live stream. And just, so that's a really powerful connection, even though that they're not like in person, they're still able to see that and watch it, and really putting it at a level that doesn't really skip a beat. We also have the mm-hmm, outdoor version now of that for live streaming. That's going to be so paramount, I think, even as we get fans back and people understand just how far the reach can be. I think of think about it. Like you're on Buzzards Bay. I'm here in Framingham. I mean, think about how many people from this part of the country move elsewhere,
right?
Still want to keep in touch. This is kind of a towny culture up here. This is kind of a, yeah, really proud of their town where they're from.
Yeah,
I mean, at ESPN, I go back to ESPN Boston. Like 20% of our site traffic was local. I mean, you had people. I remember one year. So my father went to a job interview in Detroit. He gets off the plane, and the guy who ended up being his boss, he first thing he says is, "Hey, I heard your son's Brendan Hall, ESPN Boston. I'm from Natick. I just want to know why Troy Flutie didn't win football this year." Like, so as people branch off, they want to stay connected, mm-hmm, to a place they're really proud from. I feel like that's another avenue for that too. And I think the pandemic has really underscored our need for connection. really. And so that, yeah, that more than anything, I think is something we've seen. Obviously we've seen enough evidence out there that, like, when you're able to tie data points to actual video evidence, which is what the assist reports do, and when you're able to pull up that, like in basketball for that assist report and say, hey, you know, you're a -4 in this lineup. Here's all the clips of how you guys performed. Let's talk through, like, ways you can be better in this lineup. That's a much more powerful message than just saying, hey, do better. Right.
Right.
So,
I think that's fantastic. And even the idea that you were saying of being able to watch your kids from out of state or you know, watch your high school team from out of state. I think, you know, a perfect example, I think we had a webinar series, you know, back during the summer with you guys. And we had Mike Hart, who was the athletic director from St. Andrews.
The legend. One of my favorite people, man.
Fantastic guy, right? And he's talking about how he's installing the huddle live stream in because they can't even hold games yet. But for recruiters out there to kind of take a look and watch these guys kind of get out and play, maybe in like a scrimmage like situation, that could be self-contained at that point. But even more so, you know, private school academy like that, you know, you're dealing with out of school, out of state, out of region, out of the country parents who never get the chance to see their kids otherwise. And this kind of brought them another avenue of connection that you were just talking about.
And that gym Mike Hart coaches in is a bandbox, ain't it? I mean,
it is. Yeah.
He's going to give me crap for that. I'm going to tell him, hey, I don't know how you got Michael Carter Williams to buy into that gym, man. Come on now.
Yeah. Cole Swider, right? A couple guys there. Bonzi
Michael Carter Williams.
Nichols, Nichols from Syracuse.
Yep. Another renowned school that it has been really good lately. Tyler Kolick, St. George's.
A-10.
I think he was A-10 Rookie of the Year, and now he's transferred to Marquette. He's one I'm keeping an eye on. He's going to be a good one.
We could talk mass basketball all day. I love that.
We're blue in the face.
Yeah. So what's on? So you know what I found really interesting is before we hit record on this, as we tend to do, got off onto like a very deep and quick conversation here. But you were telling me about the huddle focus throughout the course of the year and just how it's been able to sustain like these extreme elements and still hold up there. So
yeah,
can you recant that story for me?
Yeah. We rely a lot on some beta testers that we trust, guys that we've been working with for a long time, who give us really good, honest feedback through every step of the process. Guys who really take meticulous notes. Two of my favorite people on that end, who are paramount to this process of getting the outdoor ready to go to market. Nolan Hockgravy at Blue Springs High School in Missouri, and then Jonathan Coates at Lake Travis High School in Austin, Texas, both of whom were at our Blitz 21 event talking about this device. Specific to Jonathan, as everyone followed that crazy, crazy snowstorm in Texas just flattened the area. And he was telling the story about like checking out because, you know, you can check in on the angle through the app, right? You can just and snowfall and everything, and the thing was still capturing everything, no problem. And then I don't know what night it was, but it got really, really cold in Nebraska. It was somewhere in like the -20s, I think -25 maybe, near Omaha. And a camera we had set up in that area didn't go out. It was still functioning. So we put this thing through the ringer. We gave it a lot of stress tests early on.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of fun stuff that we learned about it, which we'll be putting out in a blog series in the next couple months, I think. It's been really fun to see this thing come to life.
So what you're telling me is that, you know, the entire state of Texas the power grid can be threatened of shutting down, but your camera technology from Huddle can still be running just fine, no problem.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying, Wes.
Yeah, maybe we should get who's the governor there, Abbott. You get on the phone with him, start talking to Huddle, get some tech out there for you guys. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, we've had obviously Huddle knows so much about the video analytics, scouting features. I feel like those are almost synonymous when you think Huddle. But you touched on this a little bit earlier, is that that community aspect and that community of coaching that comes with Huddle. And that's what I found really interesting, whether you guys are talking about the Huddle Academy or these webinar series or these chats and all that sort of stuff. You know, how do you work with coaches to get the most out of their service? Because as what I think, and I'm sure you've come across this coach, the stereotype many a time, is a grizzled, you know, 20, 30 year coach who still has the flip phone, who maybe, you know, maybe doesn't even have a cell phone. You know, you got to call them on the house phone between dinner hours. You know, how do you get that person up to speed and using that technology and using the full features of Huddle?
Yeah, there's so many coaches leveraging our products in so many different ways. And there isn't a single coach I talk to I don't come away like fascinated by how they do it. You know, the one thing I've learned here is I can tell people 1,000 different ways to use our products. Mm-hmm. The message is always going to be 10 times more powerful coming from the users themselves. And they always fascinate me. I was telling you that George Patton quote before we went live here. Yep. About don't tell people what to do. Don't let them fascinate you with their ingenuity. Mm-hmm. It's kind of what this is. I mean, I'll give an example. I'm a big stickler I think one of our most underutilized custom reports on the football side is this what's next report. Mm-hmm. That it basically predicts what your opponent is going to call in certain situations based on your scout film data. And so, I hosted a panel on this at Blitz 21, but you know, we recommend, you know, having a couple scout films to run it on, but like this one guy who his name's David Padilla at mm-hmm. Hart High School in Southern California. He was using it on every single scout film. So he was our number one user for 2019, every single one, because he found like it predicted different things against different fronts, right? Like against a 3-4 versus a 4-3 mm-hmm. or anything else. And so that helped him shape his defensive game plan. All right, well, what's working against this front? What's not? How should we approach? What front should we call that's going to give us the best effect to win? And so he was able, by doing it that way, he was able to zoom in on the data and really refine what's going to be the best game plan. And then he showed us his process for how he fills out his game sheet. And again, where the automatic checks are. In other words, you see something, you automatically check to this. That comes into play with that too. That's something I would never mm-hmm. figured out just by telling somebody, hey, this thing will predict what you say, but you put it in the hands of people. And this guy, by the way, his day job, he's a construction manager at an airport. Like mm-hmm. Guys like, and I say he's a smart guy, obviously, but like these people aren't, these are regular people with, you know, so who are like hardworking and they have a good way of cutting through, like being decisive, I guess, about what's necessary versus what's nice to have and what's the real takeaway from the data. And so there's lots of ways people leverage our products in ways I never imagined. I'm always blown away by how many custom columns coaches use. Mm-hmm. Our auto assist reports for football, we do the 16 columns. The most tedious 16 columns, the ones that require the most heavy lifting, we take care of. But then so many coaches will supplement that with like 20 or 30 more columns.
No kidding.
See something one week and zoom in on that. And just the possibilities are endless. And now that they have this Huddle beta experience that we're hoping becomes the norm for coaches in the 2021 season, they can get those answers even faster. But again, Some of these guys that we partner with on content, your Coach Vass, your X&O Labs, I'm always fascinated by just the unique ways that our coaches are leveraging our products.
I think it's fascinating. So like how, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but how I'm kind of interpreting this is that, you know, you can kind of, if I were to compare this to like, say a Pro Football Reference or something along that, this, mm-hmm. I have this huge database where I can simply look up, you know, passer stats or records or something simple like that. But if I am familiar with how to navigate Pro Football Reference and how to use that site, I can access more advanced analytics, you know, something on certain days this player rushes for, you know, X amount of yards at 4 o'clock games compared to this. And you can do all these sort of comparisons and draw it up, that where all the information is living in this database. It's just a matter of how you organize it and how you want to use it in the way that you want to.
Yeah. So two things. It's always, you always got to be careful of that. I guess you can call it the curse of dimensionality. If you track enough data points, eventually you will find a relationship between two, even if there's nothing actually there.
Sure. Right?
Happens a lot.
Yeah.
But if you have the right mindset, you can really go deep. I was talking to a coach the other day in Oklahoma who, he uses three backfield tags instead of just one, because he finds the relationship between, you know, the Y, I guess your Y tight end and the running back, like where they are in the field, tends to have major like run tendency giveaways, like what kind of run play they're gonna have. So like that's just that, but that comes from like just the way you look at things, not just looking squarely at the data and saying X, Y, Z. Mm-hmm. The other thing too is the data is going to tell you when to go off script, right? I think we see this a lot in baseball where like guys are really, really committed to this script that the game tends to go off script really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't get out of it. I mean, I hate to say it because I really like Kevin Cash, but I mean, that it cost him the World Series. Did he not?
Yeah.
So, but you know, it's going to tell you when to go off script. It's going to tell you when to go to your gut, right? If what your scout data says the team is going to do doesn't match up with what's going on in the field, then you got to that's when the weird turn pro, as the famous Hunter S. Thompson quote would say. So probably 1 second. My kids are jumping in here.
Real quick. Oh no, I love it. This is great. A special guest appearance on the podcast. Guest appearance,
Rose Hall.
I love it.
He turns two in a week.
All right. So Brendan, you mentioned the importance of you know, having multiple people look at it and having multiple different perspectives when looking at data, because how I may look at it may be different, how you may look at it, and what you could show me is something I may have never seen before. Right. So can you kind of talk about the importance of having that interpretation from a diverse crowd of coaches so that, you know, that community can better use your product?
Yeah, I think it's important to always be looking for new sources of inspiration, mm-hmm. and to constantly be expanding your Rolodex, because I mean, again, like high school football coaches are some of the more brilliant minds. I don't know if you've heard of Kevin Kelly, the high school coach in Little Rock, Arkansas, the coach that that always onside kicks and never punts. One of his greatest prodigies, Hunter Henry, just signed with the Patriots.
Okay.
Every time someone runs a funny onside kick, he gets all these calls in the media like, hey, did you inspire them to do that? Because people ask him all the time from different levels of football, like, how do you do what you do? And people borrow stuff from high school coaches all the time. It's all cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
And take it to what I do as far as how I devise my messaging, how I make sure I get – you know, I'm doing webinars with people that coaches really want to hear from. You constantly have to try to find new voices and new people in your Rolodex who will give you different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta be honest, like one of my go-to guys when I'm like going like mesh testing and I'm trying to understand like what's going to really click with them, is a middle school coach in Manhattan, Kansas, believe it or not. Like,
really? Yeah.
Yeah. And he's a smart guy and he does some unique stuff with the way that he captures stuff in huddle. It's but you would never expect it. If you got to take your ego out of it. You got to take your bias out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think early on, I kind of leaned into a lot of my coaches here locally that I still swear by, but
sure.
You talk to people all over the country and get all sorts of new ideas. And that's always going to benefit you when it comes to, you know, putting together the content, putting together the messaging that you think is going to resonate most with your audience.
Yeah, and you touched on this earlier in our conversation that coaches community on Twitter can be, you know, such a great resource for people. But I think even just that cliche of the coaches fraternity, right? I think if you're in that group, you know what it's like, you know what the grind is like. And I think if you're willing to ask for help, everyone is more than willing to offer, you know,
you'd be surprised. You follow the right guys, how much you can learn just you know, browsing on Twitter every day, just seeing what Coach Vass or an Alex Kirby or a Dan Casey, Cody Alexander, I could go on and on and on and on. There's so many great coaches up there that I'm learning from, and trying to spotlight what they do. And it really is a special place.
And it's a great form of, you know, a relatively cheap professional development that you're getting with a product there too, right? So I think that's something that, you know, we at Coach and Athletic Director in Training Conditioning love to really hammer home, is the importance of that professional development and that the idea of, you know, you're never done sharpening the tools in your tool shed.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Every right idea is eventually the wrong idea. Don't ever forget that.
Oh, who said that? Which war general said that? I like it, though.
Maybe I just came up with it, but always remember that. Every right idea is eventually a wrong idea, so it's important to always have an open mind and always be learning.
Or you know, we could flip it right on its head. You know, a lot of wrong ideas were considered wrong that turned out to be right. You know, Sir Isaac Newton, right?
Here we go. Here we go. James Joyce. Man's failure is his portal into discovery. Right.
There we go. I love it. That's nice here. But so yeah. I mentioned training and conditioning here because, of course, we are also involved in health and nutrition and fitness and strength training and all that good stuff here. And if I'm not mistaken, unless you since the last time I saw you, you know, got really good at Photoshop or something, but you've gone full Joe Rogan beast mode on me here. I think you're fully committed to, I don't know what you were saying, CrossFit now. So you look in great shape.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Dude, Wes, I gotta be honest, like I canceled my Y membership 2 years ago. I've never felt in better shape. I mean, look at my shoulders, dude. Yeah. No, it's funny. Yeah. The office manager of our Boston office, he's a quarterbacks coach at Marshfield High School south of Boston. He's also a CrossFit trainer on the side. In the beginning of the pandemic, he gave us a spreadsheet with like 11 or 12 different like CrossFit exercises, like routine
workout of the days, right?
Yeah. And he put a new one up every week, and he'd have a Zoom call, and everyone would like try to do it alongside him. I think it just kind of lost interest because by the end it was like me and two other people just getting our butts kicked every week on it. But I've kept them and I just kind of knock it out every day.
So are you a morning workout guy, night workout guy?
Yeah. If I don't get it done in the morning, I'm not going to get it done.
I get too tired from it. That's like the thing I do to go to sleep at night. Like that's one of the, I eat and then go right to bed afterwards.
I try to live by, have you read Atomic Habits?
No.
That's a great book.
Okay.
As long as you're getting 1% better every day, there is eventually a breaking point. And he makes this analogy about ice, right? Mm-hmm. So you don't really see the difference when it's going from like 19 degrees, 20 degrees, 21, 22. But then eventually, if you keep getting a degree warmer every day, you get a 32 and you start melting. That's the breaking point. So if you just keep getting 1% better every day, eventually there comes a point where it all really clicks together. And so I try to, there's another thing he does to try to don't break the streak. And so if you put it on a calendar every day, like I did, you don't want to, you see that visually and you don't want to break the streak. So,
yeah, no, I hear you. Absolutely. I mean, that's what we were talking about wearables before, right? And that whole idea of, you know, closing your rings on the Apple Fitness watch you don't want to break it charts everything. Like you've gone 10 straight days with going this amount of miles or burning this many calories. And when you don't, you're like, damn, that kind of sucks.
Right.
But I think that's a great point though, about that 1% better. Cause it reminds me, if we're big quote guys here, I'm going to paraphrase this, but there's a story. I think it was what Will Smith's dad used to say to Will Smith. But of course, you know, Big Willie style is sharing this story. But he's talking about building a wall, like a brick wall. And that they never focused on what they were building. They just said, focus on placing that one brick as good as you can do every time for X amount of time. And then before you know it, you have a great brick wall. But, you know, you don't focus on building a great big wall in the outset. You focus on laying that brick perfectly. You focus on laying the cement perfectly and making sure it's not going over. You know, it's all the little details piece by piece that ends up building that great, picture.
Yeah. Brick by brick. And if You know, it's funny. I'll go back to another speaking session that from our Blitz 21 that Don Brown, the defensive coordinator at University of Arizona, who's beloved by people up here in the Boston area. He's a Worcester guy, always recruits area wherever he goes. So people were delighted to see him, and he talks about when he evaluates recruits, because so many of his guys are like, maybe they have a deficiency here or there, but they turn into great players. And he mentions about like focus on what they're good at, and then put them in that position of what they're really good at. And then you find that the stuff that they're not so good at, they end up getting better at just because they're being put in that position to really excel what they're good at. So it's kind of this weird osmosis, you know, and you've seen that with one of his guys who will probably get drafted this weekend, potentially first round, this guy, Quiddy Pay out of Providence, Rhode Island, who ended up being great for them at Michigan. For 4 years, but was a 900th ranked, I think 900th ranked high school player,
no kidding,
something like that, something crazy. But look, he was a BC, he was a BC recruit too. Like he won them, but like not maybe not a Big Ten caliber, I don't know, but like he ended up being a really good, what Don called him the best wide zone, like spread zone run defender he's ever seen.
No kidding.
But it's because he put him in that position of what he was really good at.
Yeah, and I, you know, what's funny is that weird Michigan connection between Massachusetts. You hear so much about the Everett kids, you know, who come over to Michigan too. So that's a weird connection between the Harbaugh and Massachusetts for some reason. I don't know. Maybe you know more about it.
No, it's definitely Don Brown. I mean, Don.
Yeah,
swears by guys. You see it. He took the Arizona job like what 2 months ago, and it took him like 3 days to offer Jermaine Wiggins his son. Right. Like that's what he does at every stop. He knows the kids around here are a different breed, and they're willing to run through a wall for him, and they're aggressive, and they got a chip on their shoulder, and I think that means a lot to him. And obviously works out for him because Mike Sanders still is crushing it at Michigan right now.
Yeah.
Wide receivers don't really pan out at that level from here tend to be, but I mean he has really disproven that. Him and Isaiah Likely over at Coastal Carolina, who's now an excellent tight end, will probably get drafted next year too. So,
yeah, the Massachusetts, you know, they're producing a little bit of quality talent out here. You know, I see Sal Frelick hitting bombs for the Eagles. Good stuff.
I feel like one of the greatest like multi sport athletes I think I've ever covered in my career. You could give him a tennis racket, he won a state title, man.
So I appreciate you hanging with me here. Before we wrap up this conversation, I like to do this with all of my guests. It's called 5 questions that have nothing to do with sports. Perhaps if you listen to one of the local radio stations, you're familiar with this. It's rapid fire, whatever comes to mind, it comes out, but you feel safe, you feel ready, you feel prepared.
This could go either really good or really bad, but let's do it.
It's going to be fun regardless.
All right.
What is your most used app that's not social media, music, or email?
Whoa. That's a good one. I would say the WOD timer that I use for working out.
Oh, okay. W-O-D. I like that.
I don't know how to pronounce it, WOD timer, but I use it for Tabatas.
I like that. Okay. So if mine right now would be, cause I'm currently house hunting, so these things are kind of tied together. It's Trulia and my crypto account. So that's kind of going back and forth.
I thought you were going to say Zillow. Yeah.
One or the other. Trulia, Zillow. It's all the same thing, right?
Yeah.
So those are probably my two there. Okay. I know you are a big, I believe I have this correct, Coen Brothers fan. If you could only watch one Coen Brothers movie for the rest of your life, what would it be?
You already know the answer. It's No Country for Old Men.
Not Hell or High. No, that's not Hell or High Water.
No, Hell or High Water. Taylor Sheridan, another really, really good director.
That is a good
movie.
Yes.
The book, the movie's got coming out this year on HBO Max, Those Who Wish Me Dead. I've read the book. It's an amazing book. Unbelievable villains in it. So, I feel like Hollywood kind of has lost its step a little bit with like creating really, really good villains. But I'm really looking forward to this one. But yeah, Coen Brothers. No Credit for Old Men. That is the best Coen Brothers. Can we do a top five?
Yeah, hit me with a top five here.
No Credit for Old Men.
One.
Big Lebowski.
Number two. Okay, you don't find that to be over. I find that movie to be a little overrated, but I think I'm a little young for it, though. I think it might have missed me at that time.
I know I'm blanking on a really important one, but
Leaving Las Vegas, Fargo.
Okay, no, wait. 1, No Country, 2, Fargo, 3, Big Lebowski, 4, Miller's Crossing, 5, Blood Simple.
Okay. All right. I like that. But
Blood Simple is like for what it was. Yeah. I mean, second to none.
Okay. You have a Saturday to yourself. No commitments, no responsibilities. What are you doing?
Jeez. Probably sitting in my fire pit and listening to some tunes and just having a good Saturday.
I like that. I might be trying to schedule a solid 18. I hit a couple 300-yard drives straight a couple weekends ago.
Yeah.
That has me the itch. Now, is there any level of consistency with that? No, but
really,
yeah, it keeps me coming back.
I hit my first birdie at the Wachusett Country Club in Sterling about 6 or 7 years ago.
Oh, tweet, tweet.
And I haven't really done much since.
Six or seven years ago. I didn't catch that part.
Yeah. So
that's funny. Okay, so I think you're a pretty big beer connoisseur. What should you recommend? What are some local breweries that I should recommend? Maybe not by me, but maybe some good.
How much time do you have, buddy? Jeez. Exactly. Look, I mean, listen, it's always going to start and end with Treehouse in Charlton, mm-hmm. Mass. That's the one that like people go from all over the country to check it out. Obviously, people love Trillium. I'm gonna go on a limb here for Vitamin C in Weymouth.
Okay.
Kind of a small brand, but like there was so much lore and legacy around these guys before they even opened up their brewery, and it's basically out of an abandoned auto body garage and an industrial park in Weymouth. And
I love it. That's very Weymouth.
Yeah, it's only open 3 days a week, and it's one of, like. But boy, they're citrusy IPAs, double IPAs, triple IPAs. Yeah, they're right up there with Treehouse. No kidding. Honest to God. Look, I grew up in Westminster. Like Wachusett Brewing Company was way ahead of its time.
Right.
Was a staple in college, right?
Yeah, put a few blueberries in there. Yeah.
And then you're down the Cape. I would say actually Knockabout in Mashpee is another
one. Love Knockabout. What's the one in Dennis? Why am I blanking on this? Yes, thank you. Love Devil's Purse as well. Bad Martha Brewery also just opened up near Knockabout as well. I love that. Okay, I got a couple good ones there. I like that. Okay, so this is wrapping up here. Any good TV recommendations? Kind of an open-ended question.
Depends on, I'd say Yellowstone. You're talking like current?
Sure. Yeah.
Yellowstone, definitely one that I would recommend.
Okay.
I've gotten into the documentary stuff lately. Hold on 1 second.
Yeah. I mean, I've been into the documentary stuff as well. I think my wife has just turned me on to a show. I don't know what it's called on Showtime. She was just showing me this today that it's about couples therapy. It might just be called that. And it's like 3 seasons of the weirdest couples just hashing out their problems. And I think we're going to do that, like open up a bottle of wine and just make fun of them. I think that's going to be like our date night.
Yeah. I would say Yellowstone is really good. The problem with Netflix shows, I feel like, is like they start running out of ideas after season 2.
They start
whimpering a little bit. Bloodline was kind of like that a little bit. Certainly House of Cards definitely one that really lost its fastball for a number of reasons, obviously. That's kind of a habit Netflix has to get over. So.
I think that's pretty good. There's a couple I like too. There's one about the Boston art.
I saw that one the other night. That's really good. And Stephen Kirkshen, our friend Adam Kirkshen, his father.
Oh yeah,
our old friend Adam Kirkshen, the high school sports guru. That's his father has a significant role in the whole thing.
I have to watch that. Okay,
because they keep going. Stephen Kirkshen was a very well to do a spotlight reporter for the Globe for a long time, and he has a very important role in this.
Well, we have someone guest starring in our questions that have nothing to do with sports.
Yeah. We have Paige.
This is our final question here as we wrap up.
Yeah.
This is more of a quiz. Can you name 5 school mascots that have neither a color nor an S in the name? So an example of what it wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. Would be Duke Blue Devils because it's blue and then has an S on the end.
So you're saying, say it again. So it doesn't have a color and doesn't
It doesn't have an S at the end.
It doesn't have a color and it doesn't have an S at the end. So St. John's Red Storm, right?
Red.
Oh, I'm sorry. Jeez.
Yeah. One you should know right off the bat.
Stanford Cardinal.
Oh, no. That's one. Yeah.
Well, that could be a color too.
No, it's the Cardinals. You're overthinking it too much.
Stanford Cardinal.
Like Golden Flashes would be an example of one because that's golden and it has like S at one. Well, okay, that's the example of not one.
All right. Say this question to me again. So what?
Name five school mascots that have neither a color nor an S in the name. So an example of what it wouldn't be would be okay. The Golden Flashes or Duke Blue Devils. So you got the Cardinal.
Okay. So color and no color and no S.
I would say there's a certain flagship school in the Bay State.
Certain flagship school in the... Yeah, UMass Minutemen.
Yeah, yeah, there we go.
Nevada Wolfpack.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. Okay.
Two. Boy, this is a tough one.
Geez, where did Wayne Corbett go to high school or go to college?
The Hofstra Pride.
Yeah.
How's your football?
Well, back in the Flying Dutchman days, I would say.
Yeah, the Flying Dutchman, that's right.
Also applied there, yeah.
Yeah, I guess Syracuse would have qualified back in the day, the Orange Men and Orange Women, right?
No, they wouldn't have.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's the color. But, you know, maybe certain military schools.
Oh, Navy Midshipmen.
There we go, huh?
There you go.
What about? Well,
you're really inching me along on this one, aren't you?
there's so many here. Yeah. You know, there you could go with a lot of the fighting schools.
Oh yeah, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Yeah, the Fighting Illini.
Fighting Illini.
North Dakota. There you got the North Dakota Fighting. So although I think they changed their mascot.
Yeah, they're the Fighting Hawks now, but I think North Dakota State is the Bison.
Correct? Yeah. So that's a great one right there. Oh. Right.
Yeah. So.
That's a fun kind of bar trivia question there.
It is. I love my 1AA football programs that like play in a multi-purpose field house that has like the basketball, the football,
those all in one like that.
If you follow like the Big Sky Conference, there's a couple of like schools that like have that multi-purpose dome, like Idaho State. My brother-in-law used to teach out near Flagstaff, Arizona, so Northern Arizona Lumberjacks, which he tells me all the time is the only wooden beam structured dome in Division One.
Love it.
Yeah, so like I don't know, that's kind of a fun conference to follow. It's kind of a
I might be mistaken, but doesn't Williams College have a dome or a wooden frame structure?
Maybe, but they're not
basketball.
Division One. Another one I just thought of: Marshall Thundering Herd.
Yes. Yeah. There we go. I love it. Okay. So now you've successfully survived five questions that have nothing to do with sports. So Brendan, thank you for taking the time. Almost have nothing to do with sports, right?
Yeah.
Speak with us today. So where can the people find you on social media if you want them to find you?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter, B Hall Writes, as in WRITES, the thing that we do so well, Wes.
Yes.
And same goes for Instagram. I'm mostly on Twitter, as you know, and I might pop in the clubhouse every now and then, but yeah, that's where you can find me mostly.
A clubhouse. I like that. I've been kind of considering whether we should do that for Coach Nadine.
Yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm not sure how much of the coaching audience is on Clubhouse. Or at least active, definitely in the sports marketing world is active on Clubhouse with the networking aspect. I've met some amazing people on there, but certainly an interesting avenue to try out right now.
Okay. I'll definitely keep that in mind. And you can follow all of our brands on Twitter, at @coach_AD, at Train Condition, at Winning Hoops, and myself, if you'd like, at @WesleySykes_. And you'll want to follow those accounts to get a first look at who our next guest will be for our 15th episode. But I'll give you a little teaser right now. It's going to be Bill Foran for the Miami Heat strength coach, longtime Miami Heat strength coach. So that will mean on the Sideline Session podcast, we have both of the NBA finalist strength coaches, Gunnar Peterson from the LA Lakers, and now Bill Foran of the Miami Heat, soon to follow. So we're just cornering the strength and conditioning NBA market here, and I couldn't be happier about it. But until then, sports fans, I'm Wesley Sykes. That's Brendan Hall. And thank you for listening to Sideline Sessions, and thank you, Brendan.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Wes. Always a pleasure. Reunited, and it feels so good.
It feels great.